You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English.
What were the main reasons Manchester City defeated Chelsea in their opening game of the season? How positive are the Chelsea fans about this season? What is the goalkeeping situation like at Chelsea? And do they still miss Peter Cech? And what do the adjectives reactionary, inferior, elite, rash, and others mean? Welcome back to the Footglish podcast, the best English learning podcast about football since sliced bread. My name is Denek Lukas, I'm your host, and the Premier League has got underway. We have got Marvin here to talk about the first round and specifically about, I would say, the most interesting game between Chelsea and the current holders, Manchester City. Welcome back to... It's not welcome back, is it, Marvin? It's your first time. Welcome to the Footglish podcast.
Thank you, brother. We talked before, so I can understand that confusion. Thank you very much for having me on, Zenek. I'm very happy to be back and be here for the first time, as it were. So, yeah, let's do it.
Yep. So, Marvin, is there anything we should promote? I know you are an English teacher. Do you want to tell people about your Instagram or anything?
Well, my Instagram nowadays is used as I'm a dad. So now I use my Instagram to just make videos of my son most of the time. But yeah, I'm teaching English much like you on iTalki. You can find me there. I don't remember the link, but I'm teaching there every day. And, love the profession, doing exams, business, interview practice, speaking development, all the usual kind of things, my friend.
From time to time, I see some of your posts and from what I can see, you're in top 1% of all teachers there. So, Marvin, if anyone wants to have an amazing English teacher, I think Martin is definitely your guy. So you can check him out. I will put the link to his profile in the description of this episode. But thank Marvin, we are here to talk football. So, what do you make of the first game of your team, Chelsea? You are a Chelsea fan.
Well, yes. I mean, unfortunately, it was a 2-0 loss in the first match. But unlike, I mean, and I'm, you know, if you, the people, the listeners probably don't know that much about me. I'm probably one of the most reactionary fans that exist.
And I remember.
Every time we lose, it's, like the sky has fallen. In this case, though, I'm a lot more, and this might go against the general consensus, but I'm very positive about the team because, unlike last season, where I actually felt close enough to walking away from it all because we were losing games at a time, there was no clear idea of what we were supposed to be doing. In this case, I felt we were the better team against, completely the best football team in the league. I think we should have won. Unfortunately, we lost, and it's those small margins why you lose. I don't think we lost because we were the inferior team. So that's obviously a good way to get it going. And now we're going to start building a proper team again because you cannot do it like you used to be able to do it, which was, buy a couple that spend a lot of money, a la Man United style, and outspend the other teams and win, which is obviously what Chelsea have also done at times. And you just cannot do it that way. Now you need everything to fall into place. You need a clear style. We need a very technical team because the way the games are changing. And I was very happy with the technical performance. Even more, I was happy that some of the players have been ostracized, the ones that I personally did not think were good enough to play anymore. So this is a very rare occasion.
Can you give us an example? Give us an example of players like that.
Yes, the perfect example for me is Raheem Sterling on 325 grand a week and hasn't played well more than five times in the 2.5 seasons he's been there. Yeah. And I'm very happy to see that the manager didn't even put him in the squad, which is what I've been crying for years. And had we had a proper, we had two main issues, unfortunately. Number one, we don't have an elite number nine. Man City does. He scored, we didn't. And we also don't have a very good goalkeeper. And that the second goal was because the keeper should have saved it. And thankfully, it's very easy to see that those are the only problems. Whereas last season, we had more of a plethora of issues, starting from lack of technical players being able to build out from the back. too many injuries, not enough clinical strike. Again, still a bad goalkeeper that we switched for Petrovic in the second half of the season. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy in general with the start. I mean, we should have done better, but, you know, on to the next game.
Yeah. Can I ask you this question? Are you also being investigated like Man City because there were some financial irregularities in the past? Are you one of those teams? I think you are, right?
Not in the case of what's happening with Man City and the other teams.
Of course not. No one is.
No one's been compared
to Man City at the moment, I think.
Well, this is also a very different situation. What happened in our situation is that the new owners actually flagged up a situation that they'd found from the previous ownership and admitted to it. We had to pay a fine already. In terms of that profit and loss sustainability, Chelsea is completely compliant due to the sales they made. And they made quite, if you noticed, we made quite a few sales this season, even in the previous. A lot of players have been moved on for substantial fees. But yeah, I think there could be a potential ban again coming in, but hard to really talk about.
Points deductions. Like we saw the same thing happening to Everton, Nottingham Forest. Yeah. And to be honest, if it happens to these teams, it should happen to everyone that breaks the rules.
Yes, and I'm actually on the
opposite. I don't care who it is, like if it's a big team or not, especially it should happen to City, right?
I'm on the opposite side of that, whereas I think it shouldn't happen to any of the teams. I think that what happened with Everton was really unfair. They were trying to meet those sustainability situations by building a new stadium, and I felt like, I don't know why, but it felt like, and I'm not a fan of Everton, I don't really like Everton, but I felt like they were kind of harshly done by.
Yeah, with that. It was a precedent that for sure. So now they have to kind of play it fair, right, with everyone else. So you also have a new manager. Yeah, Maurizio Pochettino is gone.
Yeah.
So now who is the manager? I can't remember his name.
Now we have Enzo Maresca.
I said his name. It could be a woman, right? These days. Okay. That is a possibility, but we haven't seen a female manager in the Premier League yet, I think.
It's possible.
We haven't seen it. You know, we might have a president. The US president could be a woman now. So,
yes, they're possible. But I'm very happy with him at the moment because there's a clear style of play that he's trying to implement. And I quite... Yeah. And the thing is, you know, just to get me on the side is to kind of understand where some of the problems are. And for me... I noticed some of them, and it seems he's tried to deal with almost all of them. And I was very impressed by the way he's handled those situations.
So what would be on top of the list for you of these problems then?
Well, if you look at last season, in my opinion, there was a big problem with the attack. There was no attacking patterns and way of play, in my opinion. We played well at times, but because there was no... set style or way of play, one game we would be absolutely brilliant, and the next game we'd be dreadful. And I think that comes from a lack of clear identity about what we're trying to do.
That's true, right? You're more reactionary to what the opposition plays, right? You adapt, you're trying to adapt to their style, and that means that takes away from your own identity, from the way you want to play your football.
Yes.
I think, to be honest, personally, I actually believe in balance of those two things, because it depends on who you are. If you're Manchester City, you have the best players in the world, then you can have your clear identity and everyone else has to react. Like, you know, but if you're Chelsea, a team that is now you're building a new team full of young talents, right? Players who still are a bit, what's the word for it? Raw, right?
You could say
they are a bit raw. They need to develop. Like players like Jackson, Nkunku, we can see a lot of potential, but they are very young and inexperienced and reckless and often make the wrong decisions, right?
Am I surprised by
what I just said?
No, Nkunku is not one of those. He's more of one of
Okay, how old is Nkunku then?
I think he's like 24, 25. He's not
still quite young. It's definitely young compared to you and I.
So. And he's played in the Champions League. He's scored in big games, won trophies. I don't think
Fair enough.
But Jackson, I agree, he's one of those players. And I mean, obviously with a lot of young players, there will be inconsistencies, of course. But in general, last season, we made one final, one semi-final. In the end, we managed to have a decent ending towards the season. So you can see the quality is there.
And one player in particular has really impressed. I think you know who I'm talking about. It's actually a Man City reject. Cole Palmer, and it brought him to the Euros as well. And oh my God, he was on fire. I definitely put him in my fantasy team, you know, as a result of those performances. And now he's a real force, you know, I think.
Absolutely. And he surprised a lot of people. Actually, we love him. His final ball is fantastic. He takes a risk. His passes are really good. He scores goals. He works hard off the ball. A complete bona fide star after just one season. He was so close to helping us win the Euros as well. That's true. But it's nice to have him. And obviously, he played today. He was a little bit off it in place, but he hasn't really played. He's only just come back and he had one preseason game. So obviously, got to give a bit of time to get up to speed. But yeah, we're very lucky to have a player like that on the right hand side.
Yeah. I don't have him in my fantasy team because nowadays he's too expensive. And I was actually expecting that thing, that he would be a bit tired, a bit rough around the edges. So I watched the game and I thought, as you said, you played quite well. I thought there was a lot of intensity in your game, and I think you pressed quite high, and it seemed like your players were really up for it. I think the main difference for me was the way how Man City were just so much more clinical, and just there was this like little edge they had over you in terms of like players like Haaland, and they just did that extra bit better than you did. Like, for example, that Jackson scored a goal, but he was like fractionally offside, which I thought he should have really paid a closer attention to what was happening in the game. Like, if you see you're offside, just step back. Like, all you need to do is like half a meter behind the player, and you're not offside, right? No. And he had a lot of time to do it. So that, for me, he played really well, but those were the tiny margins in the game.
Yeah. It's what I was saying before, is that like lack of elite number nine for Chelsea and lack of good goalkeeper are the biggest issues. And they are the two reasons why we did not win today's game, unfortunately. I do like Jackson a lot, but he had a complete stinker today.
Wait. Do you mean Marvin? You're talking about Jackson, the player, not Michael Jackson, the singer.
No, he was on it, you know. But Jackson had a very bad game, And I think there was the one. I mean, he can be offside sometimes, but he should have scored that chance he had where he kicked it straight at the goal. It wasn't just that as well. He dribbled the players. He had games like that last season where he'd be brilliant and then other times terrible. I think he's a very nice player, but you've got to take those chances, especially against the best teams. You will get one or two, and you cannot miss two.
That's what will ultimately make the difference. You know, that's why City always keep winning, and they're just so robotic. They just keep doing it. You know,
well, that's the difference. They've got a good striker. You know,
I liked how the commentator of this match described the game at one point. He said it was as if the teams were playing PlayStation football. Did you also hear that, or were you watching the same?
I've got Spanish because I'm living in Mexico. My commentary is in Spanish. So.
Oh yeah.
But yes, it's a new. I mean, we look at the way football has become in the last two seasons or so. It has become a bit of a different game from the one that we grew up with, right? It's counter attacks are maybe less than before. Now we're talking about controlling possession a lot more, which thankfully Chelsea did against the Man City team. It was good. But I did feel there was a sense of robotism to the game. But I think, I don't know, it depends on tastes, right? Football grows and our tastes also grow with that sometimes. Yeah. I kind of like the possession style more. I didn't like it a few years ago when we had Maurizio Sarri as our coach and I hated the football. But more recently, I watched this today and I love seeing them kind of play the balls between the two defenders, you know, trying to get in the pockets. I do enjoy watching that.
Yeah, I think you also save a lot of energy when you do that. Even you look at someone like City, after they scored a goal, I thought they just stopped playing. Like they stopped attacking. It seems like they just let you play. And maybe that's the time where they just take the foot off the pedal, right? Yeah. Just to take a little break in order to conserve their energy, or I don't know if it makes any sense what I'm saying, but that's just maybe what they can do so well. I imagine when Guardiola gives them like the tactical tips, or when he's coaching them, he's teaching him how to behave in different game situations rather than just play the same in the same way all the time, because that's another school of thought, right? Yeah. Play the same way all the time, no matter what the result is. That's one school of thought. And then, in my opinion, what Guardiola is like, you play differently when you are winning, and you play differently when you are chasing the game.
Right? Of course.
Would you agree?
Yes, I think it's a good idea sometimes, not at the end of games. I never like it when you score a goal and everyone starts defending in the last five minutes and they always concede. But in the case of what City did in this game, it was one of the very first times I've seen all of their players in their own penalty box. I don't ever remember them doing this so before. And it was quite smart, because I think when we were both playing and trying to, we created some really good chances. We got the ball forward. We got numbers over. And obviously, when Neto got on, I think we looked a bit more dangerous. So I think the tactics were good from them to kind of keep it that for a little bit, and then got a lucky goal to kill it off. And they did well, but they always will do well, I think, because they're a very, very good team.
So let's talk about the goals a little bit then. So first, Haaland scored a goal. I don't exactly remember the minute, but it was in the first half, I think around the 20th minute or something. And Cucurella, was he too
not his
in that challenge, or was he? Did he have no chance against Haaland?
It was not his mistake. I mean, he's seen as making a mistake because he's the one that gets across to try to cover the space that's been lost. But it was, I'm not sure if it was Colwell or Fofana, nowhere near the player when the ball is played. He's got extra space to get the ball in. Bit of a lucky touch. Cucurella tries to stop him. He can't quite do it, and they score.
Do you know what I think, Marvin?
What's that?
Whenever Cucurella makes a mistake, I think it's sort of exacerbated by his haircut. I don't know if it's my own theory. Like whenever I see him make a mistake, it's almost like I see it twice. Like I see it with double the intensity because of the hair I see. I don't know how about you, but like it's not just Cucurella specifically. Yeah. That almost sounds like I'm racist or something. It doesn't matter who it is. Whether it's David Lewis, who had like, I don't know how to describe that hair, but like so much hair everywhere. It used to be Salah. We have one player like that in the Czech team, Alex Kral.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Somehow, whenever they make a mistake or they are around something that goes wrong, I always kind of blame the hair subconsciously. I don't. Do you feel in the same way? Or
I think it might be because of the sense of messiness. You assume that that's how they play as well. And he's a bit of a rash player, just like you see him fly around.
Yeah.
But, technically very good. I think actually halfway through, actually he did show a good level for us. We were making those kind of mistakes in the early part of the game. We were attacking well, but every time City got the ball out wide, I felt like it took a bit long for us to close down. And Doku was able to just have Malo Gusto on toast the whole game, which was a problem in the end. There was kind of, but in this case, that goal, I think it needed a bit of luck, obviously, because we did make the challenge. He did make the challenge, but the ball just bounced back in to him, and unfortunately, he was able to get the goal 1-on-1.
It was very strong, Haaland, in that challenge again. Like his muscle.
Well, he's great.
Another player with weird hairstyle again. Like I just don't know, Marvin. I'm not a fan. I don't know if these players would play under someone like Alex Ferguson. I think he would have ordered them to have a haircut. Otherwise, they wouldn't be brought on the pitch. They wouldn't be allowed to play. And in my opinion, it reduces your vision, right? If you have so much hair, I think, for example, someone like Salah, now he has a new haircut. He looks more like me now, doesn't have much hair. I think he will do much better. He already scored one goal. And he always does at the beginning of the season. I know he does. But I think we will see a resurgence of Salah as a result of him changing his haircut.
Happens for Mudrik. I hope the same happens for Mudrik as well.
Does he have a different haircut too?
He shaved it. Yeah, it's really shaved now.
Okay, what about the tattoos? Has he covered his tattoos as well? Or?
No, they are still there. Well, but you might not see them because he doesn't get to play, But
You have some players who have a lot of tattoos like Lionel Messi, and they are still good. So I don't think we can blame the tattoos.
Yeah.
But the haircut, that's a different story. At least I think so. Because I remember back in the day when I used to play football, and when my hair was a little bit longer and I had to wear the, what do you call it? The headband?
Headband, yeah.
Headband. Yeah. It actually annoyed the hell out of me some at times, yeah, and I couldn't see very well. But you know, I wanted to look good and I wanted to be attractive for females, so that was the reason I wore that. But football wise, it never helped me. So I'm still not a big fan.
So you didn't want to do the Jan collar kind of style?
No, I'm doing that. That I'm doing now. I knew that would happen. That would happen anyway, right? So that's something you can't prevent. Like you have a receding hairline. Not you. You're younger than me, but
I think we're almost the same age, you know?
Nah, I think you're younger. I think you're also getting a lot of Mexican sun. Yeah, sunshine. So I think you're getting like some extra nutrition from the Mexican sun, and your hair still keeps growing. I mean, mine is okay. Mine's also okay. It could be worse, to be honest. It could be worse.
Definitely.
I could look like what's his name? Ten Hag.
Oh God! Yeah. We could go down that road.
Yeah. So, to be honest, it's one of the toughest games to play anyway against City. So I think you showed some promising signs of some progress, I thought. So I completely understand that you're quite positive about this, and I'm sure all Chelsea fans and the channels, like these days we have so many fan channels everywhere. I don't know if you subscribe to any of those, but those fans go crazy sometimes, right?
I don't pay attention to these. One or two of them are quite good, but a lot of them just trying to get money off the club, you know, profit from the club. I mean, you know Arsenal started that with the fan TV.
Arsenal fan TV, yeah. I bet that was not your favorite show.
No, I mean, when they lost, it was quite interesting, but like... No, I liked a few of them. I met Robbie at the Community Shield game, and he was a pretty nice guy.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he was very nice. I just didn't like the there was two of them, and one of them was a criminal. The other one was an idiot. Mm-hmm. I like some of them were really nice guys. Actually, just trying to be a fan of the club, and you respect that, right? Because everyone loves their club and wants to support, consume content as much as possible.
Absolutely. Also, let's mention Kovacic, who scored the second goal, obviously the ex-Chelsea player, and I thought it was a brilliant goal, actually. Maybe you will see it as a mistake of your defense that they let him do that, but in my opinion it was some neat play from him, and good finish. Okay, you could blame the keeper a little bit. He could have done better there, but then again Ederson wasn't at his best either today. So Kovacic didn't celebrate though, so that was a nice gesture, wasn't it?
Very nice. Actually, nothing against him. I mean, he was a nice player for us. We won a lot of trophies with him. And I always liked Kovacic. I thought he was a good player, passed it well, moved it well, good footballer, tried his best. And the fact he didn't celebrate, extra respect from me for that he didn't do that. And, you know, he's got to score. He's got to try and help the team win. He didn't do anything disrespectful. So that's all good.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, 100% that should be saved. And it's
would
all.
Would you have saved it? Would you have
well,
saved
I'm,
it?
Well, I'm not a goalkeeper, so
not even you. Your son would have saved it.
My son can save it, but me maybe not. Though. But the defense was bad, and they did walk straight through. Same thing happened to us in a preseason game against Inter, where one of the players walked all the way through the hole in the middle and passed it when they scored. Similar thing. Again, high corner shot goal. But yeah, again, this is where unfortunately the margins of detail are very important. What separates a great team from a good team. And you cannot get away with having a terrible number nine or a terrible goalkeeper, unfortunately. And it showed.
Sanchez, your goalkeeper is Sanchez.
Yeah, and last season he was replaced by Petrovic, who was a much better goalkeeper than him. I know they're trying to say that he's good at passing a ball, which he is. He's not bad at it, but we've got another goalkeeper we just bought, and I don't understand why he won't play.
I have a suggestion for you. You could also ask Petr Cech to come back from his retirement. He is now an ice hockey goalkeeper. Did you know that?
We did know
that. He's playing in, I think it's the second professional league in the UK or something like that. Oh. It's not a joke. He is playing ice hockey now, and he is a goalkeeper, so he's keeping himself fit. I don't think he has forgotten how to play football, but maybe he would be a bit too old for modern football.
We were very blessed to have that guy in our goal for so many years. Like, he's a wonderful, wonderful goalkeeper. We were blessed with goalkeepers. Since I was born, we've had good goalkeepers. And you know him. We had Courtois for a while as well. After him, I prefer Cech a lot more.
He's a legend, right? He must be. He was there for 10 years or something.
Yeah, and very
won everything he could.
He did, and we won the Champions League thanks to his goalkeeping. We won the Europa League. He was fantastic. Yeah. He's the
Marvin, do you remember we also recorded one episode of Zdenek's English podcast, my other podcast about Peter Cech?
Yes, remember? I remember a great
podcast. If anyone is interested, there is a football episode about your goalkeeper legend, Peter Cech, recorded with this guest, Marvin. I think we did it like 4 or 5 years ago or so. And it's on Zdenek's English podcast. So you just have to do a bit of Googling and you will find it.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, I would have him back all day. He was a wonderful goalkeeper for us. He worked for the club for a while as well.
Yeah, until he was fired. Not tired, fired.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if he got fired per se, but it was, we'll have to see what happened with that. But
I think because I think there's something to do with Ibrahim, what's his name? Not Ibrahimovic, that's Zlatan. Roman Abramovic. I think he was associated with that era. And I think as a result, because they had to make a complete change of the staff. And I think that's why he had to go. Because I think he is a professional in anything he does. Honestly, I cannot imagine him like not doing his duties properly. So I think it's that more than anything, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I've always been a big fan of his, and it's a shame to go from that to Kepa. You know, I still find it insane how on earth you managed to find, because I always said Kepa was the worst goalkeeper on earth, how we managed to find the worst goalkeeper on Mars and replace him with that. I don't understand.
Worst goalkeeper on Mars?
Because Kepa was so bad and Sanchez is even worse. I don't know how we managed to do this, especially in your team. You know, you've got, well, I don't think Ramsdale's that good, but you know, you've got two decent goalkeepers and we've got like none.
Yeah, but Ramsdale doesn't seem to be happy. You know, like, there are some speculations of him leaving. I'm not surprised. He used to be number one and then Raya came in. And unfortunately, like, nobody understood why Arteta chose Raya over Ramsdale. But
it's another it took
a few games and then everybody knew that this was a good decision, you know. So
yeah. Yeah, he's much better with the feet. Nowadays, the goalkeeper has to be the final defender, right? Yeah. So to make more overload, so you can play the ball out much more. And that's why they changed Petrovic.
Exactly.
All
right, Marvin. Well, it's been fantastic talking to you about Chelsea. Normally, under normal circumstances, I would wish you good luck because I have a lot of respect for my guests and anyone who wants to be on the Footgrish podcast. But in this case, it's a bit difficult. Because you are a London rival as well, right? So I support Arsenal. You are a Chelsea fan.
Nobody's perfect.
Good luck to you as long as you finish below us. Good luck to you.
Well, I'm willing to accept that as long as my son. Oh, no, he can't be on the film because he's got no clothes on. Sorry, my son come to say hello. He's also a big Chelsea fan.
So. A future Chelsea. Is he a Chelsea supporter already?
I got in there already. I just got to decide what position he's going to play.
Sometimes I wonder, is this fair, right? The kids don't really have a choice, right? It's kind of it's imposed on them. Like who they're going to support. What if your son wanted to support? Who's the biggest rival of Chelsea? I know you hate Manchester United, but who's the biggest Chelsea rival?
I mean, in general, they say that Tottenham is it, right? But actually,
it's everyone's biggest rival.
And I still don't really. I mean, I do understand some historical factors.
Yeah, there's a bit of
Yeah, but like they never win anyway against us. It's like, is that really a rival? Like,
it's for more of a joke, right?
It's a toss-up really between Man United and Liverpool. But there is a certain thing with Arsenal, obviously, as well, because obviously now you're good again. But even then, you still haven't won anything for your golden era. Yeah,
so it's true.
Happens. But I think we have a bit of something with Arsenal and Tottenham, and then obviously Liverpool. Liverpool, that's dated back for a while, since like kind of 2003-04, we started winning and they didn't like it. But
I know you personally, always Manchester United is the team you absolutely can't stand, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Despise, abhor. You know,
all right. Well, we will see what happens this season. It will be exciting to watch. Only one round behind us. Tottenham. Yeah, there is one more game to be played tomorrow. It's Tottenham.
Oh yeah.
Leicester. Tottenham against, is it Leicester?
Leicester.
Yeah, a newly promoted side. And so many more games to go, so anything can happen. Marvin, it's been fantastic to have you here, and I hope we can catch up in the future again.
Me too. Have a great day. Thanks for having me, mate.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, in this part of the show, I'm going to go through some language. I'm going to clarify some vocabulary. And that's something that English teachers like myself have to do in order to teach English. Yes, it's part of the learning experience, and this is your opportunity to learn something new. Marvin is a well-spoken person. He's an English teacher himself, so he used a lot of very, very cool vocabulary. And I have decided to pick out several adjectives. Now, adjectives are those words that we use in order to describe other words. So I'm going to go through several examples, several adjectives from the episode, and then explain them to you. So Marvin said, I'm probably one of the most reactionary fans. A reactionary fan. What does it mean if you are a reactionary fan? Well, it means that you are an emotional fan and you react to what is happening in the games in a slightly emotional way, let's say. So if Chelsea lose, Marvin goes absolutely crazy. If Chelsea win, he's really happy, right? He's really excited and happy. So he is a reactionary football fan. He reacts quickly and often emotionally to events during a football match or season, right? And sometimes this is slightly disapproving, right? It's kind of the opposite of being a measured football fan, a level-headed football fan. Right, I don't think we lost because we were the inferior team. Here we are looking at the word inferior. The inferior team means the worst team in the game. The better team would be the superior team. The inferior team means the worst team. So Marvin said that he didn't think that Chelsea were worse than Man City. And I think he was right. He also said we don't have an elite number nine. Man City does. Number nine is that striker, right? The most advanced striker role. Man City have Haaland and Chelsea don't have an elite number nine. So an elite, what does elite mean? Elite means like really, really good quality, really high level, top class, world class, elite, right? So they have a number nine, but this player is not elite. Haaland is elite. He's one of the best in his position. Okay? Right. One way we would be brilliant and the next day we would be dreadful. So this is how Marvin described the way Chelsea played last season, I believe. One day we would be brilliant and the next day we would be dreadful. So the word I'm looking at here is dreadful. If something is dreadful, it's horrible. It's really bad. It's awful. It's really, really poor. Okay, so when you're talking about a football team and their performance being dreadful, it's a really abysmal, poor, below par performance. Dreadful. Oh, it's just horrible. Okay, then I said, you still have players who are a bit raw. We use this word actually to describe vegetable. If you eat raw vegetable, it means you don't cook it, right? So this is a metaphor, basically. When we talk about players who are still a bit raw, it means they are very young, inexperienced. They need to play more and develop as players. They are still a bit raw. They are not a finished article, as we say. Okay, and then we were talking, or Marvin was talking about Scott Palmer, And he used a really interesting phrase that I have to admit I did not know, and I had to find it. He said that Scott Palmer is a completely bona fide star. Bona fide, also I found, star. It's a really strange word, and it is spelled as B-A-N-A space F-I-D-E. And apparently it comes from Latin, and it means in good faith in Latin. But here it kind of means a real star, a genuine, a complete bona fide star. Yeah, so a real star. So basically, Scott Palmer is just, you know, he's top class, world class, again, a bona fide star, okay? Then we were also talking about Cucurella, the defender, the Spanish defender. And Marvin said he is a bit of a rash player. Now, the word rash means impulsive. This player does not think through his actions. He acts on an impulse, right? If you make a rash decision, you don't consider the consequences of that decision. You just make the decision quickly without thinking it through. And you can be a rash player as well. It means your decision-making is not maybe always the best because you act on an impulse, right? And then we were talking about the Kovacic goal, and I was describing it to Marvin as a brilliant goal. Basically, Kovacic dribbled past several players. And I said, in my opinion, it was some neat play from him. Neat play. Neat, N-E-A-T. If you show a neat play, you demonstrate skill and efficiency. So it was skillful and efficient. You can be a neat player, or you can make a neat move or something like that. So neat. Okay, guys, I hope you find all these adjectives useful. You can definitely use them to talk about football. And, of course, as always, this podcast goes beyond football. I know most of the listeners of this podcast are football fans or people that have to do with the football industry, the football field, football players, football managers. But it's possible that some people listening to this don't even like football, or it's not their number one thing, in which case, why are you listening? And secondly, I think I know why you are listening, because a lot of things that I'm explaining here, a lot of vocabulary that is used in these episodes can also be used outside football. A lot of vocabulary is applicable beyond this sport because it's everyday usage vocabulary, right? Anyway, guys, it's been wonderful to talk to you again. Don't forget to subscribe to the Footglish podcast. You can do it wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's, I don't know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can even find us on YouTube. So thank you very much for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.